Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
If you're looking for a transporting summer read, might we recommend Tanya James' new novel, Loot? It begins in 18th century India, in a southern city called Mysore. The hero is Abbas, a talented young woodcarver who's brought to the court of Mysore's ruler, Tipu Sultan. Tipu is continually battling English colonizers, in particular the British East India Trade Company, and he chooses Abbas to help build an automaton, a mechanical device, as a symbol of his resistance. But when British forces overrun Mysore, Abbas flees and goes in search of the automaton, which is now displayed in England as a prize of war. I was drawn to Loot because it's about a time in history that's not very well known to a lot of people, but it's super meaningful to me because of my own ancestry, 17th century southern India, a time when Tipu Sultan was particularly brutal to some of those he ruled, even as he was fighting the British. So when I spoke with Tanya James recently, I asked her what drew her to set her novel Loot in the court of Tipu Sultan.
Well, I didn't know a whole lot about Tipu Sultan either. I knew that he was somehow had put up a lot of resistance against the British East India Company. But it was really what drew me to him was actually this automaton, Tipu's Tiger, which is basically this 18th century automaton. And it's a 6-foot long wooden tiger that's mauling the throat of an English soldier. Mm. And back in the day when it worked, you could turn this hand crank and the tiger would grunt and the soldier would groan. And there was an organ inside the body of the tiger, so you could have this little soundtrack to this interesting scene. And I just thought it was so striking to me because here's this art object from the colonial period that is anti-colonialist. And I, to this day, I haven't seen anything quite like it. It's so kind of sinister, but also reverent and whimsical.
Have you seen it in person? Because it actually exists. It's not something you kind of made up with your novel. And it's a real tiger automaton in the Victoria and Albert Museum.
Yes. I mean, I actually wrote the novel and during the pandemic, so we couldn't travel. But I finally, after writing many drafts, I finally did get to go see it in the V&A Museum, which was really humbling, actually. It's much bigger than I knew it to be in my own mind.
Wow. And I do want to talk about kind of colonialism, because obviously that's a major theme of your novel. But you center the story around a woodcarver, a young man named Abbas, and he's given the esteemed job of carving this famed tiger alongside a Frenchman who creates the musical pipes for the interior. How did you dream up these two characters?
Well, that was a challenge for me in the beginning because I thought I would do research and find out who made the automaton. And I quickly found out there was no information in English or in Kannada about who these people were. All I could tell was that it was probably the exterior was made by a local wood carver because it was in the local style, and that the interior was European. And I knew that there was a French clockmaker at the court of Tipu Sultan. Mm. So I just... At first, I was sort of frustrated by the lack of information, but then I began thinking about using that void to sort of imagine other possibilities and creating characters out of those blank spaces in history. And that became sort of a recurring theme throughout the novel, this idea of people who have been erased, centering kind of people who we might think of as marginal characters. Who were they? You know, what perhaps they could have been the heroes of their own stories, too.
Yeah. And the story is very much about colonialism and the impact of both the British and even the French presence in India. And much has been written about the legacy of colonialism, but your novel adds a very different layer. What were you hoping to add?
Well, I think that the story of colonialism, as I was growing up, the way I learned it, was that it was a civilizing sort of presence for India and Africa, that these countries and kingdoms were brought into a more contemporary and modernized way of life by colonialism. I think we're still sort of grappling with what the effects of colonialism are today. You know, the way that, you know, colonialism is connected to slavery, just the effects that still exist as a product of colonialism. I think that my gaze, what I bring as a fiction writer, is the narrowness and the sort of interest in the individual and the interest in how these huge historical forces impact a single person. A phrase kept recurring to me as I was writing the story, which was leaving a mark. And I think that's just something I wanted to think about in terms of this novel. How did these people who we may not have heard from, these voices that may have been silenced, how do we kind of bring them back through an act of the imagination?
Mm. And the line that really stuck with me, it was when an Indian man in England is asked why he's in England. And he says, "I am here because you were there." Mm. And that, I mean, I reread that line like 5 times because it's so simple, but yet it says so much. Tell me about that line.
Yeah, that line was actually written by a Sri Lankan writer and activist. And it was one of several lines that I had read in my research and of different people, different voices in history who I wanted to bring into the text of the novel. Sometimes writers will have an epigraph at the front of a novel that kind of give you a sense of the themes, but I wanted to work them into the actual fiction because in some ways it felt to me like a way of expanding the borders of the novel and, you know, just having the novel speak directly back to voices from the past who had a lot to say about similar things in terms of art making and the meaning of art and the purpose of it.
Yeah, and your characters kind of continue. They come from the period of colonized India out to the colonizing countries, England and France, but they're really kind of othered when they're there. And you know, they also seem in some part like refugees having left India. And I'm wondering what you wanted to leave us with as readers with the intense otherization, you know, of these people who had to leave India.
One word that I was thinking about was belonging. There's a line where there's a character who begins in India, but then kind of winds up in England as a steward to a woman who owns this English country house. And, you know, he says a man must belong to a people, even if it's the people he serves, that everyone has to belong somewhere. Mm. And this idea that belonging means to him protection. So that's a positive aspect of belonging. But then there's also this corrosive aspect of belonging to a society that doesn't see you as equal or doesn't see you as, you know, entirely same or human even. So in some ways, I think all the major characters in this novel are exiled from their family or their homeland in some way. And that is in some way what's kind of pulling them together. By the end of the novel, these characters find themselves in this country house and sometimes at cross purposes, but in some ways they're very similar in that they are all kind of searching for a sense of belonging.
And there's some great twists and turns along the way, some unlikely friendships and romances. I want, though, to leave us with your thoughts on this, because clearly your novel is about colonialism and its impact. And many people might think that happened so long ago in the past. Do you feel like those lingering impacts, do you want us to take something from your historical novel to understand our lives today?
I think the best historical fiction, the historical fiction that I love, is really talking about the present. It's really because the writer is a product of her present. And so my present day concerns are in the novel. A lot of the things that I was thinking about had to do with being an artist and thinking about what is the purpose of art and how does art change in meaning depending on who's making it, who's owning it, who's displaying it. And I think that these are things that museums are contending with, especially, and that's perhaps why, in part, I've been thinking about these things, you know, the question of plundered art, where it belongs.
Who owns it?
Yeah, who owns it? Who gets the right to tell its story? All of these things are things that are present-day concerns that have filtered into this story of the past.
Tanya James' novel is Loot. Tanya, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Deepa.